Well, chaff, what you got, Dina Gauthier and DL Debate, then Misha Brendan O'Davigna and Shotta Highland Radio. Welcome, everybody, to the DL Debate. Timmage, Erin Valla, Go Parky, Crokey. We're heading for Dublin again. We're heading for Croke Parks, where we want to be for the All-Ireland quarter-finals. Shortly, we're going to talk to Brendan Kilcoyne, who was on duty and keep me right yesterday in the commentary. And we'll be going to Croke Park as well. We'll also chat to Kevin Riley, our Louth GAA expert correspondent, to get his views on the big game yesterday. After that, I will speak with Cathal Kane, Irish news correspondent on all the weekend's action and, of course, the games to come as well. Just from the weekend, Donegal ladies went down to Tipperary in the championship. Unfortunately, that leaves them fighting for their senior status, so they'll play Armagh in a playoff game, and there's a second chance should you lose to Armagh. It's the losers of Mayo and Leitrim. Indeed, we have some interviews up on the Highland site. James Daly's up there, not too happy with the refereeing as well. So if you click on highlandradio.com, you scroll down, a lot of rally stuff in there from the big rally at the weekend. You'll catch that interview. But looking back to yesterday's game, and talk about a game of two halves. Brendan Kilcoyne's in studio. Kevin, are you on the line there?
Hear me okay?
Hearing you surely, loud and clear, my man, from a bit away. Kevin, you know, the old adage, a game of two halves. What was your thoughts, Kevin, yesterday, coming up to half-time, in terms of what you had seen? It was a strange game in many ways, and I suppose a couple of injury worries myself and yourself talked about last week, no more than McDonald and Nets and possibly Craig Lennon, a few players like that. They had come good. Maybe Bevan Duffy was the only one then, Kevin. But it was an interesting first half in terms of the start and how it finished. Are you there, Kevin?
Yeah. No, sorry. I just got cut off there a moment.
You're right.
No, to be honest with you, the start of the game when they fell was the 5 points to one down, and like it looked as though all mistakes were being punished, and Donegal probably could have been further ahead, and they really sort of steadied themselves. And I suppose with a half an hour played and you draw a level, it just seemed like a typical Louth performance under Ger Brennan, sort of when you're against a team who are sort of higher ranked, where he sort of got it right. He seemed to get his matchups right, and they had felt their way into the game. It probably had hallmarks of the Leinster final against Dublin last year, where just coming up to half time, they got back level and actually got ahead, and you were sort of thinking, sort of right in this, but like you were always waiting on the burst from Donegal at the same time, because like they lost their way. Did they go, like, was it 15, 16 minutes without a score, am I right in saying? And I suppose you sort of felt that when Louth were in that ascendancy, they were the ones that needed the goal, and they probably needed to go to the break ahead. And just when it seemed as though that the indicators were that, you know, maybe they could take a lead into half time, it's the sucker punch goal that they were hit by. And even though the response was quite good with Ryan Burns, who was obviously very good in that first half, particularly tipping over and cutting the deficit at half time, like it was inevitably going to be a tall order from there on. Like in these games, like the goals have, from a Louth perspective, have the double whammy. They obviously give the boost to Donegal, who were somewhat underperforming at that stage of the game, and obviously then just has a major sort of blowback for Louth. Really needed everything to go their way.
Yeah, and Brendan, we talk about goals being, you know, somewhat, I suppose, their importance taken away by the two-pointer, but there definitely, as Kevin's saying, there's a serious lift from a goal still. I don't know, was it in your own head, you're still treating it as the three versus the one in terms of if there was no two-pointer, but the two goals that Donegal got, both of them were huge scores in the game.
Yeah, and yes, it's a three-pointer, but the crowd loved them. Mm. The crowd loved them, and you could see the rise that the crowd got from both goals, particularly the first one, because Donegal had gone through a fallow period, as Cuivin alluded to there, you know, that they were struggling to get ball. Louth were on a bit of a rampage at the time. Sam Burns was on fire. And then Sean Patton hits this bomb down the field, tapped down by Michael Murphy, Kier Moore coming off the shoulder into a Conor O'Donnell goal, and the crowd just loved it. And I think it was a major body blow to Louth, who had worked their way back into a game after probably is what they'd consider a slow start. But that just seemed to be a body blow for them, and they never really recovered. Like, you know, yeah, they came out in the second half, but again, Donegal were kicking a few wides and they missed opportunities. But then they took off once Michael Murphy kicked that two-pointer kind of thing. Things just opened up for them then. It seemed to open up for them then. But you're right, the three-point, the hitting the net, it's just, it's a crowd pleaser. And along with that, the team will get energy from it, so they will also. So massive, massive score from Conor O'Donnell, who really has upped his game in the last few weeks and is playing a huge role for Donegal now. He has pace, super fitness, and he's bringing that finishing, that quality that was probably lacking from his game earlier in the year. He's brought that to his game. So brilliant for Donegal. And after struggling for long periods in that first half, they were able to go in at half time then with that bit of a cushion. Yeah, Loud came up and kicked another score, but they had that 2-point cushion. They would be annoyed with their performance themselves because they had missed a lot of great opportunities. Like Farah, who ended up having a great game, had a golden goal opportunity. Right. He fisted one wide also, and you know, we dropped three short into the goalkeeper's hands. I think we kicked something like five wides in the first half, Brendan. So it was a boost for Donegal, definitely.
Yeah. Akeem, just before we get the half-time team talks, because it was a bit tense then in Ballybofey. I think most Donegal people knew Donegal weren't really on it in that first half, and it's always a fear, just nobody knew that switch was going to be flicked definitely second half. But the game swung a wee bit. You know, Donegal won the first couple of Louth kickouts, I think the first three, and was penning them in quite a bit. After that, Louth won the next four of their own, and along with, as Brendan saying, the wides, and was three drop short, meant that Louth were getting a lot more attacks, which meant you're going to yield more scores. So at half time, get in, and I know you have great time for Jared Brennan, Kevin, but would there have been a sense from Louth, we've done all right here, we maybe have a wee bit of the breeze second half? Were they prepared for maybe a potential onslaught of Donegal, do you feel?
You see, it's very hard sort of to prepare for that, because in terms of a counter-attacking team, Donegal are the best in the business, and this is like the pace that they have on their team and the capacity to sort of capitalise on those opportunities. So it's all right, you know, that everybody can have the best laid plans, but it's very hard to stop counter-attacks, particularly with you know, even with the rules now at the minute. And it was mentioned earlier on about Patton's kickouts, like, some of them are just like arrows sort of straight out to men. So, like, I don't know whether... I'm not really sure that anything more could have been said at half-time or anything, you know, wrong was said necessarily. Like, the reality is Donegal got gripped with Ryan Burns in the second half, and, like, he was instrumental in Louth coming back into the game from the midpoint of the first half onwards. So, like, when you're shutting down the opposition threat... Like, I'll put it to you this way. Louth, under Mickey Hart, were hugely effective at drawing frees, and that's where Sam Mulroy really got his name, if you like, because he's such a dead ball exponent, an expert really from anywhere within maybe 50 to 55 metres inward. Donegal don't foul, and Jim McGuinness teams don't foul, so like you were sort of always going to be reliant on having the capacity to kick two pointers and literally have a day where you shoot the lights out. Like last year at Croke Park, like I remember being up in St Junan's with you last year ahead of the quarter final and saying, based on Loud's tallies, I find it very hard to see how they're going to score enough to win the game. Lo and behold, go and score 18 points. The problem was, what had been working well, you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, they conceded 123. If you're looking, going up to Ballybofey at what they're going to need to score, first of all, everything's going to need to go over. They're going to need to be super efficient. At times in the first half, they weren't. Craig Lennon, like, it took him three shots to get a score.
That's right.
But then equally, then you need to be sort of very mindful of what's going on behind you and keeping it tight. And simply, when Donegal have so many players that can kick from range, you literally need everything to go in your favour. And like it was essentially an impossible ask. So I don't know how Louth could have approached it any differently. Obviously, like, 12 points is not going to win you a game, so like it was a total malfunction in the second half, and in many ways, listen, Donegal were comfortable winners, but like Louth also took the opportunity to hand out debuts to players and that, and I suppose near the end, you know, points were tagged on. Like, I don't know whether 16 points was, you know, reflective, we'll say, fully of the game. But it is what it is. But just come back to my earlier point where you have Mulroy, like, not getting frees, and you're reliant on Ryan Burns then kicking from play, and then, you know, Burns has sort of been marked very tightly and sort of nowhere near as influential. So that's not a very, how do I put it? That's not going to bode well. So when Burns was shut down and you're not getting freeze, your oxygen is gone, essentially. So I don't know. I wouldn't be overly harsh on Ger Brennan. Like, you know, we shipped a fair number of Haydens under Mickey Hart, and there wasn't very much scrutiny on him. He could do no wrong. So it was what it was. I don't think we were ever going to beat Donegal. And whatever chance you had, get into Ballybuffet, never mind all the, you know, crazy stuff that went on beforehand. You know, Donegal were obviously going to lift the performance. Sim was obviously going to give them the rocket at half-time. And so it turned out.
Yeah, listen, Ger Brennan must have heard McInnes giving off a bit long tricks, so he's decided to go by Sligo from Enniskillen. I'm just wondering, Brennan, when you leave Enniskillen, there's a sign for Donegal, which is taking you to South Donegal on the Sligo Road.
Yeah.
I wonder, did the bus driver see that? You know, it's just like 50 people on the bus we sat now. It seems crazy, but anyway, I don't think I had anything to do with it. The lads was there in enough time to warm up, Brennan. Just in that second half, you know, people on about Donegal, you know, there'll be calmness in Donegal's dressing room. There'll be a battle cry before it. This is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because if you're not creating chances, if you're missing chances, you can't give off to people like that. You just want to try and be a bit more assured, work the scores, work the play. But if you're doing that, it's right. And it's a matter just of Jim ironing out the midfield more than anything, making sure you're competitive in kickouts, and then just letting the players, you know, do their thing. Of course, it'd be a, you know, it's a do or die game. But in that second half, and we talked about a good bit yesterday, Hugh McFadden coming in for McGee, I made an absolute monster of him. And how do you leave him out the next day? I don't think you can't. Not in that performance, you know, that was serious in terms of who do you want to start. And some of the performances in the second half, even Dara Boyle coming on, as you mentioned, the running power of Conor O'Donnell, and Finbar Rorty was all over the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, obviously at midfield, then, you know, Langan was doing well, covering a lot of ground, so was Murr. But Kieran Thompson, I thought, was brilliant. I know he missed a couple of chances, scored a brilliant goal, but I thought his ability to win midfield, as we're saying, is such a vital side of the game, Brendan. So there's a tremendous amount of plus points in that second half.
Oh, absolutely, Brendan. And like, for number one, I was very pleased to see Big Jason get game time, get 35 minutes under his belt. Hopefully that'll develop and he came through that okay, because he still can play a huge role. But there's no doubt about it, Hughie was phenomenal when he came on the second half. He just ruled the rooster on the middle of the field. He's physical, he's aggressive, he attacked every ball that was in the air. And opposition kick out, so if you have someone like Hughie attacking them, there's going to be a ball spilling
somewhere.
Could
it be tactical, Brendan, that we could use that again? You know, because we talk about the second half lift.
Yeah.
We've seen it be Galway yesterday, and 10 points up. Where, you know, but the second half, if you have players to come in, that's the time you go after teams. So
and the energy that he brought, Brendan, in that second half, and that infiltrates itself throughout the team too.
Yeah.
Your teammates can be energised by that too, so can. And, you know, the first half, it was probably decision-making a lot of the time, Brendan, in the first half, taking on shots that maybe shouldn't have been taken on. And yeah, there were a few poor executions of shots too. But the second half was clinical from Donegal. Donegal at its best. Keevan mentioned it there. You know, their ability to counter, to transition at pace is scary. Like Finbar, Kieran Moore, Keelan McColgan, these guys, the legs on them are crazy. Like, you know, I wouldn't like to be chasing them. So it was massive from that point in this. And it'll give Donegal a good boost going into next weekend, I think, too. And listen, Donegal, it's a 6-day turnaround. It's not an awful lot, so it isn't at this level of football. And, you know, I read something today. Under the current system, there'll be 12 quarterfinals played by this weekend. No team has ever been asked to play on a 6-day turnaround in them 12 games. So you can understand why Jim is creating this them v us, that there is something there about that.
Well, take it for this, Brent. Galway, it's interesting. It's a huge thing now, because Galway obviously played on Sunday. And they're getting to play the following Sunday.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've Donegal now, Monaghan are sitting resting, Tyrone are resting.
Yeah.
And Dublin played on Saturday.
Yes, yeah.
So everybody except for Donegal in that mix, you know, you have the three counties all coming in.
Yes, yeah. They all get the 7 or 8 day break.
So you can't bring, and listen, again, it's not us like grumbling, but I mean, the truth is, I mean, you could see Jim took off players yesterday with one to rest them. So rest and recovery, huge. And now Donegal are hampered by this 6-day turnaround.
They are. And you think last night, you get home from the match, traffic with rally and everything, boys wouldn't be getting home till late. So Monday morning, and they're going up the road again on Friday evening, so they are to stay in Dublin and to go through all this again. So that's only, you know, he will be lucky to get one training session in that space to be able to look at Monaghan. Now, I suppose the good thing is, they know Monaghan. I know Luke Barrett, he's forensic in his analysis, so he is. They will have Monaghan well analysed. They know their strengths and weaknesses. They obviously, like I thought, they were brilliant in when they played them in Clonus. They didn't give Began any opportunities with their discipline. Again, it was something that Keevan referred to earlier. They're so disciplined and all that kind of thing. So from that side of things, they know them well. They'll have that work done. But they only get one evening probably on the pitch this week to practice that. And it's such an important game. Donegal have played 8 games in the Championship already, and every one of them has been a titanic struggle. Yeah, they ran out easy yesterday. But you and I were kind of half worried at halftime, were we going to get the second half performance? Loud ran off the field, and their crowd, their faithful following that came down to follow them, they were all up on their feet clapping the Loud team out. The Loud team were energised going in at half time, so they were, it looked good for them. But to be fair, Donegal turned around in the second half. So yeah, it is difficult for Donegal, but it is what it is, and it has to be dealt with now. And listen, McGuinness and his management team will do a good job on that. They'll get
them
refreshed.
They will. They won't make excuses.
You see on the 6-day turnaround, you don't mind me coming in there.
Go ahead,
previous to this, when a provincial finalist would have been beaten, and there was all the talk about the week turnaround, but it generally was a 6-day turnaround when they'd come into a round 4 qualifier. And like, I understand the physical output that's involved, and obviously, unlike that scenario, Donegal will now, this will be the third weekend in a row where they would have been playing. But mindset probably has a lot to do with it as well. Previous to this, when you had that 6-day turnaround, and basically where very few provincial finalists ever really won those round 4 matches because it was the other team that was coming in with momentum, Donegal are coming in having won 2 weeks in a row. There surely has to be a sort of a wave of momentum. Obviously, there's the siege mentality that's been generated now by, right, we've had the 6-day turnaround, and previous to this, it was the venue selection. So, like, they're also coming in with a huge amount of momentum, with a lot of players that are vying for spots. Like, Jason McGee came in yesterday. He's probably been more effective in his Donegal career, nearly coming in as a sub. And if you remember back to the Ulster final, wasn't it him that made the tell and break for the goal in injury time, or in extra time that put it across? So he's obviously come in and staked his claim. Darrow Boyle was outstanding through the Ulster campaign, and for one reason or another now is maybe trying to get his place back. So, like, there's probably a lot of positives to this too. Like,
good man, Keevan. That's what, like, we need. You see, you're looking at it from a different perspective. Like, we're giving off here. You're saying we're on a roll.
Like, if you're looking at this logically, Monaghan came through a group that was very favourable. They weren't really road tested to any significant degree, and people can talk about Down, but that was just a simple, that was a shootout. Like, you know, it might have been very easy on the eye and that, but wasn't a whole pile of tackling going on. Like, they're going to be meeting a completely different animal now with essentially a real All-Ireland contender. And, like, grand that they've won Division 2, they got up out of it, good achievement. But, like, their only proper test this year was against Donegal, and they didn't pass it. And, like, you'd have to say, of the two teams, like, is it Donegal or Meath that Monaghan or Meath that Donegal could have got? Like, Meath are the ones that have generated momentum and really come through games that there's been scrutiny on them. I'd argue Monaghan are potentially coming in while well rested, possibly undercooked. And that's always the danger too.
Mm. Definitely, yeah. Listen, as you were saying yesterday, but you know, not many teams in Ireland beat Dublin and Kerry in the Championship. There was just something that would have excited me a bit more about Meath, because I think just Monaghan and Ulster, it's a wee bit more of a war of attrition. You know, I think Meath just would have went at us. It would have been a wee bit more end-to-end. We would have had to respond to that. But they're big men, but it's a different challenge. You just won them round, of course, and Keevan's right, obviously we beat Monaghan, but listen, it was 2 points in it, and they had a 2-point effort at the end.
Desi Ward had an opportunity.
And he'd
been popping them all day.
He had popped a couple before that, so... Well, who learns from this, Ben? Is it a matter of it's down to the management now to look through, and as Keevan was saying there, maybe Monaghan have it, but are they fresher? What way would you call it? Is it the momentum thing that Keevan's mentioned, or would you rather come in fresher like Monaghan?
Listen, the momentum is massive, and it's a huge point that Keevan made there. So it is, the momentum is huge going into this, and Donegal coming back of a superb second half showing yesterday. It's about refreshing the bodies this week and the minds as much as anything, because mentally these games can be very draining on players too. You're preparing all week for them, you're thinking about the tactic and the way you want to play that and all that kind of thing. So to deal with all that and have to get it through your head again, it is short, but you know, you're hoping that that momentum that Donegal have flown from the Hyde Park last week, McCool Park yesterday, going up to Croke Park next week will stand to them. You just hope that the bodies recover, because these games are taxing on bodies, so they are, you know, yes, the boys are in super shape. They're absolutely phenomenally fit. Like, you know, it's something that has to be remarked on too. The fitness level of this Donegal team is astounding. So,
yeah,
you're hoping that it will be right. And I think we'll have a lot for Monaghan. I think we can play better than we were against them in Clonus that day. And, you know, I do agree again with Kevin from the point of view that the group that they were in, they haven't been hugely tested. Every game Donegal has played has been a huge test. Yeah, they ran out easy yesterday, but every game has been a huge test mentally and physically to get over the line.
Yeah. Kevin, just we're down to the last minute here. Kevin, just the goalkeeping situation, obviously Began had 6 points in the last game, and the danger that he possesses, of course, Patton's boomers. We should have got a goal off Mayo off it. We got two goals were involved in big kicks yesterday. So is that a huge side of it for you, just the influence of Patton and Began in this game?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Like, you know, retaining possession off your own kicking tee has become a greater challenge. Obviously, with the new rules, Patton is like Patton, and it's like, you know, Patton, his range is his capacity to kick over the top, and then obviously if Michael Murphy's up there, you know, the flick off. We obviously seen the first goal yesterday. Began is probably more. Has a greater involvement with Monaghan in terms
happy to come out.
His play out the pitch. But, like, you know, Tim McGuinness is obviously going to have watched this and paid attention to this. And, like, if he comes in a 4-4 forward, he is going to be tagged specifically. Like, there's going to obviously be an X beside his name, because he's a guy that can obviously kick points from range.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
like,
good man.
You're not dealing with a manager that's tactically illiterate.
No, you're not. Kevin, we're just out of time there. Kevin, thank you so much. Brendan Gilcoyne,
no
Kevin.
Problem.
Folks, we'll be back after this break with Carol Keane. Thanks so much, lads.
Yes, Car, how are you this evening, my man? There's been a lot of football to digest and a lot to come, boy. It's all go.
It is. It's busy, Brendan. It's been great. It's been an absolutely brilliant couple of months of football, to be honest. And the acid test for this year's championship is now the next month, 6 weeks, whatever's left of the season. And see, can the games in Croke Park stand up to what has gone before? Because what has gone before has been right up there with anything we've ever had from a football championship.
And Karen, what's been, obviously there's been so much in the rules and the digesting of it and the different teams finding form, but is the biggest, most exciting thing, Karen, that games never seem to be done, that there seems to be no amount of leads that can be cut down? Is that probably the most exciting thing from the football championship, that there's jeopardy there always?
Partly, I think one of the biggest factors is actually inversely how good first halves have become. What we probably had for a long time was 50 minutes of football where everybody just felt each other out, and then for the last 15, everybody went and tried to win it. And so you got a lot of probably tight games, and the last 15 were maybe decent to watch, but up until that, it was a bit of a drag. You go back to Down and Galway yesterday, and like the first half of the Down Galway game was just frenetic, and that is the way so many of the games have been. The first half of the Ulster final was just off the scale. You know, in terms of that's where the comparison to last year's Ulster final, this year's final wins the comparison, because the first half was so much better. And that's where I feel like we're getting 70 minutes of football now as opposed to 15.
Yeah, and Kerry, there's no way, I think, of playing it safe, because what you're talking about, and you're 100% right, teams would have sat on knowing we'll keep it tight, you keep it tight. And it was this very much defence first and very kind of negative style. But now, space is there and players want to attack that space, and that's what we're seeing. You know, the space is creating the excitement, and then one team goes for it, and if they're stretched in and it's a turnover or whatever happens, a kick out, a flick down, the space is there but isn't there before, and the 3v3 has just changed all that.
Totally. Like, we're looking at the, you know, the rules and the and sort of the niche or the nitty-gritty of the changes that you see on the pitch in terms of what's happening there. And the biggest thing for me that has changed in all of this, the rules have transformed the mindset of everybody playing football. There is no longer an opportunity to go and frustrate your way to winning a football match. Again, I'll go back to Down. They are probably the team that you should look at as a case study. Like, they went out last year in an Ulster semi-final against Armagh, and tried to destroy the game. You know, they sucked every ounce of life out of that game that they could, because it was their best chance of winning, and they very nearly did it. Armagh kicked the last minute point to beat them. This year, Down had no opportunity to do that. Now, I spoke to Conor Laverty at the start of the year, and he actually said, like, they were really embracing the rules. They loved them because they didn't want to play that way, but it was just smart. What they had to do was get better, and look at their attacking game this year. Like, they have been absolutely electric at times and could easily have beaten Galway on Sunday. So, for me, and that is just an entire shift in mindset of no longer, how can we shut this game down? How can we make this as tight as... It is now, how do we win this game? How do we score enough to win this game of football? And everybody is having to think the same way, and that is what is creating the games that we're getting there. You know, we're not, and I think refereeing has changed a wee bit too. We're not seeing the basketball stuff. Robbie Brennan described it as sort of basketball at towards the tail end of the league, where sort of the fear was it was going to go very up and down and no physicality in the game. But refereeing has quickly adapted, and I think the better referees in the top half dozen referees are letting a lot of physicality go now in the game, which is then adding to that, because teams feel you can go chasing turnovers and maybe not get penalised for the tackle. And it's just a mix. It's just a mix of everything has come together. And I mean, like, for me, if you haven't enjoyed this year's football championship, you haven't enjoyed the games in it, then Gaelic football is just not for you. Just give up.
You're right, Kerr. No more of the negative stuff, mate. We'll talk about the positives. Kerr, Liz, I'm really interested to get your views on Down, because, you know, what a championship they've had so far in that. And, you know, people talking about the league, they were competitive, very lucky to lose a few games and ultimately got relegated, which we can get on this a minute, how much is Division 3 going to hamper this team next year? But just on the Conor Laverty and how they've really went about it. And listen, as you said, they could have very easily beaten Galway, and if they did, you'd have five Ulster teams in the last eight, which is unbelievable when you think about, not unbelievable because we expected obviously the other teams to make it, but certainly Down were so close. And I have so much admiration for them. I felt practically the day they played Donegal, you could see that they weren't, you know, Donegal were, as we always say, further down the line or a better balanced team. But you could see something was coming, and the tactical way they pulled out the Donegal shield and played around it, I was really impressed. You just seen in some of the moments in the second half, Donegal had that wee bit of composure and bit of know-how. But since then, you know, we've seen a real evolution of this Down team. They're a much better side than they were then. And if they played Donegal with that team then, now, I think that would be a much closer game. But I've been so impressed with the way they've went about it. Their kicking style, their up and at you type way they're playing, they've really embraced the rules. And again, you know, hitting 321 is a brilliant scoreline. They take you on a shootout, they back themselves. And Cara, obviously we were travelling to Balbuffet and that. I want to sit down and watch that whole game properly. But just how close they came to knocking out last year's finalists and many people's potential winners of the competition.
Yeah, well, it's a different conversation, but I don't have Galway and my teams that are going to win an All-Ireland this year. But
not now, maybe at the start.
No, I wouldn't have had. No, would you not? Brenton. No, right. I've never drunk the Galway Kool-Aid now, in fairness. But that's a whole different conversation.
Yes.
I would have felt that was ripe for Down doing that. I felt that game was absolutely ripe for Down, given Galway what they gave them, because, you know, Galway's limitations are pretty stark, and I think down the line in Croke Park, the better teams will come and get them. Down, you talked about the Donegal game there and their evolution from it. I actually think that it's a mark of the Down team that they're very adaptable. I don't think that they'd play Donegal much differently if they played them tomorrow than they did at that stage, because they're smart enough to recognise that a lot of their strengths are a lot of Donegal strengths as well, in terms of the speed on the transition and the pace in the team. And I think they recognise that in a shootout they'd lose to Donegal, but they felt that Galway didn't have the pace to match them. And I think that's where Conor Laverty really earns his core. And it's funny, like, there would have been bits of murmurs towards the tail end of the league as they got relegated that, you know, there was a wee bit of the things starting to turn against them and Down. But there have been people in Down from the start, since Conor Daverty took the job, who have kind of nearly been waiting for him to fail. It's that Kilcoo thing, and you know, their relative unpopularity within the county. And there have been people there sort of mad for Laverty to fail. And for me, he is the nearest thing that Down football will see to a Jim McGuinness or a Kieran McGinney in these players' lifetime. Like, yes, if they could nail Conor Laverty down for the next 10 years, that is what Down should do. Mm-hmm. Because they will only get... I'm not saying they'll only get better under him, but he is their absolute best chance to improve to the level that... Look at how much they've improved in the 2.5 years. Like, they didn't lose a single home game in Newry for 2.5 years in 70 minutes. Till they lost the league game against Meath this year. He has a 70% win ratio. And I know you can say who they play, and all you make all those arguments, oh, they're playing Division 3, this, that and the other. Where Down had come from to where Down are at today is absolute light years. And there's maybe a ceiling there, but you would have said the same of the Armagh team a couple of years ago. You'd have said there was a ceiling for them too. Turned out their ceiling was pretty bloody high.
It is, and it could go higher, Kerr. It could go indeed. Kerr, tell me, just the breakdown of the game there. Obviously, a lot of talk about Galway's full forward line in the 118. I'm just looking at Downs. Obviously, strangely, only conceded 1-4. Pat Havern on the day, like, he has been, to me, up there with the best forwards in Ireland. You know, I have so much admiration for him. But, you know, what happened to him on the day yesterday?
Sean Fitzgerald happened to him.
Yeah.
In fairness, like, it was, you know, it was something, again, a wee bit of credit for Galway too. Like, obviously, they were very aware of Havern on the 2-point threat. Down came out after half time and kicked 2 2-pointers within the first 70 seconds after the restart, and that cut a 10-point gap to 6. And it really sparked Newry back into life, and the place was buzzing again because a wee bit of life had just gone out of it. Galway had gone 10 up. Shane Walsh was proving hard to get a handle on, and they'd used the breeze relatively well. The first Galway goal was a bit controversial. I felt, just watching at the time, I was actually saying the referee should stop the game here because Pat McCarthy was down. It was clear he'd taken a bang to the face, and it was right in front of him. The ball was 140 yards from the goal, but he let the play go, and then end up, I mean, they were very exposed, and Walsh got the goal. But aside from that, Sean Fitzgerald just stood on Pat Havern.
When Havern dropped out like he does, and he goes out on the looper.
Yeah, Fitzgerald followed. Yeah.
And you know what? I hate saying it because I don't want players shut down like that, because I like to see the better players, and I have a bit of a thing for Down because you know as a team's coming up, I do admire them because they're a great footballer in county and they've been off the mark. So I thought to myself, no more than what you've seen some of the treatment of Murphy, you know, even yesterday for Louth, in terms of the man sacrificing his own game completely. You know, when Murphy dropped out around the back of the loop, it gives me, oh, they were tight, they were tight, McHugh before he went off, but he sometimes got that bit of yardage. But if I was looking at Haver and the damage that he can do, I'd be saying the man marker, take him out, don't be dropping into the zonal, go after him.
Yeah, and it's like you mentioned Murphy and McKinney there, which, you know, I was in Balbuffet with you, and that was absolutely a factor. But so too, Brent McColl did the exact same job in Sam Mulroy.
True, yeah.
Followed him everywhere too, like, and there was a bit of needling that off the ball at times as well, which probably didn't get picked up as much. But it is interesting, just in Donegal's system over the last few weeks, like, obviously they play a very zonal setup. I was trying desperately with a pen and paper yesterday to work out their exact sort of shape as to what they were doing on the when they were defending. But what we've seen in recent weeks is that they are probably going to nominate McColl to pick up the most dangerous forward in any game, and he sort of steps out of the zonal thing. He has a very detailed man marking role, and beyond that, then it's zonal. But McColl's role within it is to, and like opposition teams, the way the thing is now, they'll be analysing that. And I felt that actually looking at Mulroy yesterday, he was pulling McColl out to try and create gaps that Louth didn't maybe make the most of at times. But there were times in the first half they popped in, and Jim McGuinness references after the game, like, that Louth had done a few things that had, you know, caused them problems. And Jer Brennan said that, you know, they had held a couple of things back in the group games working on them that were very specifically for this game, for their preliminary round. And they did, I mean, and you saw that, like at halftime, it was 167 points. The Donegal goal came off a brilliant, fast kick out. But like, the place was antsy. Balbafey, 25, 30 minutes in yesterday, was getting a bit fidgety and nervous, and you could feel it.
Definitely, definitely. It was interesting, you talk about the zonal press there, and probably Burns probably from that in terms of the scores he was getting. Mm-hmm. Particularly the one with switched to the left-hand side. Kerr, he basically took it and had a free shot. Now, the problem here is, like, are you, I mean, he to me is as dangerous as Mulroy in terms of kicking scores, but he was left. And I often think, yeah, just no more than certain players need to be tagged at. But when the ball switched across, and even from the week before, Donegal were very deep in their defensive shape. They're right on the edge of the D. So any ball that came to somebody who had that split second to get the shot away was going to get the shot away. And I suppose that's the thing when we're going on these next set of games now, Gar, how well your defensive shape were. Because it was interesting you're talking about Galway there and just how they defend. And obviously, they're conceding plenty. They want to try and outscore you. Do you think, Gar, that the defensively more solid teams, because I thought Cork looked quite solid at times against Dublin, but Dublin didn't seem to be able to defend any Cork attacks. Did you notice that, Gar? Because again, I was out and about. I landed in just at the end of the first half. But the second half, I don't remember Dublin overturning a single Cork attack. I could be wrong. Every Cork attack either resulted in a shot or a wide or something they did. There didn't seem to be any ability for Dublin. It ended up in a one-on-one. Cork would recycle. They were patient. They'd wait. And then the one-on-one player would just go past them. And it was very different, you notice, particularly from Donegal yesterday. They're always trying to get the sweeper in, at least one, if not two. They'd wait and wait for the right moment, and then they would get the overload. Whereas Dublin just seemed to be leaving their players one-on-one. And one-on-one against the Cork guys, they were being opened up. Now, Dublin were getting more possession, and they were at a faster, more dangerous attack overall. But the way Dublin defended would say to me, you know, no more than Galway, if you won possession, you're going to get a shot away.
Yeah, look, there's a real kind of contrast in the minute in the thing in terms of their, and particularly the Ulster teams are very much moving towards the zonal setup. There are still a couple of teams out there who are more man to man in terms of their approach and picking up individual battles. And you know, within that, you mentioned Ryan Burns and where he got his scores from. That right hand side of Donegal's defence, the opposition's left wing, is where they were. Several oppositions have hurt Donegal most. There's something in there. There's a wee chink in the zone. I haven't worked it out properly yet, but there is a wee chink in the zonal armour in that pocket. Oisin Connolly kicked 6 points from play in the Ulster final. That was his pocket. That's where he hurt Donegal in that same area. And but it's funny, like, watching it, and I've been thinking about it too, and like, I've no doubt Donegal are aware of this. And they're also aware that, you know, Connolly kicked 6 points, Ryan Burns kicked 4 points. They're not being tagged. They're not man-to-man. But Donegal are winning the games, and they're keeping out the goals, and they're still, and it feels to me like, you know, it's as if they're saying, I'm not saying we don't care.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You know, that's the lesser of the
evils. That's the chink. Yeah, that's the chink. And we're able to absorb it, if you like.
Yeah, we can take that hat. We can afford for Connolly to score 6 points as long as the other players don't do the same. And within our zonal setup, other players won't do the same. So Donegal are confident. And I've felt that the zonal setup, and I've felt the way Donegal has defended all year, has been built around going to Croke Park, where the game is going to stretch out a wee bit. I've felt that it's based around Kerry, to be honest, in terms of dealing with a kick passing game. And I feel that this is where it'll be tested. And my gut tells me that it'll stand up to the test. I think Donegal's defensive setup, they've looked like there are chinks in it, they've looked like there are flaws, but Croke Park's different. These games are going to be different. I think there's going to be fewer two-pointers in Croke Park. And it just feels like this is what it's been all about all of this time, getting to this point and then having a setup that's really well rehearsed, that is built for these three games that are coming. And I feel that that's where Donegal will feel really confident now about the next month.
Yeah, and listen, some absolutely fantastic games to come. I just can't wait for next week. You know, Dublin, Tyrone, you know, there's nothing in these Armagh, Kerry, Meath, Galway. Listen, I know everybody's talking about a 6 or a 5 or a 4. Listen, anybody can beat anybody. Tell me, Donegal, Monaghan, Kerry, you know, good time, give a Bannigan, Andy Moore in there. He obviously has a great effect on the lads, you know, and no one's ever looking past it, but you get the sense with the smaller team, you know, the Morning Cork against Dublin, you know, that was potentially what they would say was their final. You know, it was do or die for them. And of course, it was for Dublin, but you always get the thing that Dublin maybe have a rise in a bigger prize. You get me? Like, I really feel that for Monaghan now in Croke Park, you know, to take the scalp of Donegal would be so massive in these teams' evolution, no matter what would happen next. You know, they'd be in somewhere where Monaghan would be in an All-Ireland semi-final. When you look at all the teams in there, Karen, I know we can say squads and different players now, but this is a serious Monaghan outfit. You know, they had that last 2-point attempt, remember, back in the Ulster quarterfinals to equalise with Donegal. So, you know, this again is a game where it's going to come down to the wire.
Look, for me, the way the draw, obviously Donegal could only draw Monaghan or Meath. I think they would have far, far preferred to draw Meath. I think Monaghan is actually a dangerous game for Donegal. Just in terms of, obviously they know Donegal pretty well. Confidence-wise, I think Monaghan would have taken a huge amount out of the Ulster Championship game between the two teams. I think they hurt Donegal far more than they maybe even expected to hurt Donegal that day. And they saw different wee things that would have worked. They saw how their pace could trouble Donegal because they have lots of it. The rule changes have come at the perfect time for Monaghan. You know, they don't have a big chunky middle eight, but what they have is loads and loads of pace all around the place. And, you know, even in, you know, a player like Micheál McGarvel, who has grown into inter-county football and has got progressively better and has given them that wee bit of a platform now physically in the middle of the field. But it's just hard when it comes down to it, because I do think that, again, certain things about the way Donegal play and their spacing on Sean Patton's kickouts and how they stretch opposition presses, that'll work even better in Croke Park. Patton will find men. And it's why I feel that, you know, really Donegal and Armagh at the minute are still ahead. And it comes a lot down to the two goalkeepers and their ability, that no matter which way the opposition decide to try and press them, Patton and Rafferty can find ways out of it. And that gives you possession. And then what it does in the opposition's head is, do we drop off here? Because that's giving you free possession. If they do, do we keep squeezed up? Then you're ineffective and you're caught out on it. Like, I think Patton is about to become Donegal's biggest weapon in Croke Park. And other teams will really struggle to take enough possession off him to beat them for that reason. Yeah. And so I think while it's a very, very dangerous game for Donegal, it's still not one that I see them losing in the end up.
Yeah, I suppose that kind of mindset, it's a thing you could tell Jim McGuinness would be a bit worried about in terms of getting in his favourites, thinking that, you know, we should have enough to beat them. Kerry, is there anything about the fatigue of Donegal in this, the path that they've been on now in terms of Monaghan obviously having a break, and, you know, Monaghan just about got across the line against Down as well. So, you know, and we're seeing how good Down are Monaghan better now, and does that week's rest, I know it's very hard to quantify, but do you think it makes a big difference going into this game?
I don't feel that it does. In some ways, like the fixture's just been announced earlier this afternoon, like Donegal put into the 4 o'clock slot on the Saturday, which they didn't particularly want. But within that, it'll be easy, really easy to build the siege mentality for the next 6 days, which Jim McGuinness will love in many ways. I think physically, like, it has been a taxing period on them. It depends on the game. If Donegal want this to be a frenetic, up-and-down, fast game, then there's a danger that in the last 10 minutes it could come on them. And that's provided that the game goes in that manner and it stays tight. You know, if you're going down the stretch in a really tight game and you've played an up and down, fast-paced game, then, you know, there is a danger you get caught with that. In any other type of game, I don't expect Donegal to feel the fatigue too badly. I think they'll be okay. I think they'll, you know, be well enough conditioned at this stage. They're not the first team in history to play two games 6 days apart. And I expect that their plan for the game will be to try and draw a lot of the life out of it. They will try and control as much of it. And again, Croke Park, it's bigger. I think we're going to see slightly longer spells of possession in the All-Ireland series than we have in a lot of the games up to now, because it's bigger and teams can control the ball a wee bit more and a wee bit better. And I think Donegal especially will look to do that, to take the sting out of the game and take the sting out of Monaghan's pace. They don't want to get drawn into an up and down battle here.
Yeah, listen, Kerry, I agree. Thank you. I'll tell you, obviously, Began hitting the 6 points the last day has influence on it, and I agree. And the restarts, if Donegal squeeze, Monaghan squeeze, who's got the better kick out? Because as we know, possession is huge. Lavelle didn't play the last day, he's back, probably huge. Jason McGee, see how this 35 minutes under his belt can bring him on, because McFadden, I thought, was brilliant to go on second half. It'd be hard to leave McFadden out after that. Kerry, just a quick roundup, last question you carried in. You're going for Donegal, Monaghan. Could you give me your three predictions? Dublin, Tyrone, Armagh, Kerry, and Meath, Galway. Who do you think's going to come out of the other three?
Jeez, it's very, very tough. It is.
I know it is.
I'm just finishing up a piece, and
I'm doing my accumulator, because I know you're much more knowledgeable than me and all these things.
Oh no, God, far from that. I'm just finishing a piece, like, and I had a theory on Kerry, like, and, you know, you go back through their history of tight championship games over the last a quarter of a century, over the last 25 years. Like, out of 25 games in the last 25 years that you would say were tight championship games, they've only won 8.
Wow.
Against serious Ulster opposition, they're 7 from 17 in that same time period. Like, and I think what has happened with Armagh and Tyrone particularly is that they've come to see Kerry as mortals. You know, they're not these superstars anymore that can't be beaten and are going to walk to All Ireland's. I think, and that hasn't helped Kerry at all.
Yes.
So I think the injuries now, look, Armagh's injuries are just as important. They have a couple of key defenders who are really 50-50 now, Barry McCambridge and Paddy Burns. Aaron McKay's already struggling. Like, with the men that Kerry have, like, their injuries could be just as significant as well. And I wouldn't rule Kerry out in the slightest, but I just feel if it goes to the wire, it's just not something they're good at, just winning that. And for that reason, I would just slide with Armagh at the minute, but not by much. Tyrone, I think there's a shock in Tyrone, if you would call it a shock, to be honest. I don't even know if you would, because I think, again, they've wanted to show a wee bit of their kick passing game. They've wanted their forwards to get a wee bit of space. Darragh Canavan hasn't come to life yet in the championship, and I think he's just about to. And if he does, I feel that Tyrone are better in a lot of areas than Dublin are, though. Michael McKernan's a massive loss as well for them. And the other one, back to the Galway thing, 13-5 is a crazy price for this Meath team against Galway. Yes. I think that because Galway's kickouts are so one-dimensional, and Meath have big men that can counteract it, and they're going to win it. Again, back to Croke Park being bigger, the kick-out doesn't travel as far down the pitch. Meath are going to win enough of Galway's possession to give themselves a real fighting chance in this game.
Yeah, good roundup there from Carol Keane of the Irish News. I want to thank him so much for his input this evening. Of course, Brendan and Keevan from earlier. Of course, to Kenneth and Joe for producing, head of sport, Oisin Kelly. Join us next week for the All-Ireland quarter-finals review show. But stay tuned for the Monday night sessions now. Slán go fóill.